In this short presentation, I would like to touch upon the following topics. One, I'll make a few opening remarks, then I'll enumerate the objectives of the research, of the project, then a few words about background, trusting that not many of you are familiar with Islam or with Arabic language, especially Palestinian Arabic, then to point to the need as I see it, then to report the stages and the phases that we've already completed, then to project about the continuation, and finally to make a few concluding remarks. Now, the objectives of this research, which is in its very initial stages actually, is to create to augment the Arabic-Palestinian dictionary with emotions, namely to take from the hypothesis that definition and meaning of a word is not restricted to the cognitive component as it is represented in lexical definitions, but also needs to be augmented with emotions. I think that eventually we'll be able to create a data that will be easily accessible. And I would even like to be able to create a much more accurate understanding of meanings, and perhaps even to give it some numerical values, as I'll show later on. Also, if this is really extremely successful, then we'll be able perhaps to even predict what words people will use in certain circumstances trying to convey certain meanings. This is not it is not intended to be individual proscription. That is to say, it is not the case that any word or any individual in any circumstances will use the same word with the same component of meanings. But generally, I think we have a general tendency of what the meaning will be. There are two stages to the research. One stage is assessing what constitutes emotion for Arabic-speaking Palestinians, and secondly, what constitutes terms of conflict, which, as you'll see in a minute, is quite different from what we would expect being Westerners. Let me give you a hypothetical case. There is a hostage-taking person, Arabic-speaking Palestinian, and he is there holding his hostage, and some people decide to bring a relative to try to talk with him, to persuade him to give up or to free the hostages. And someone came up with the idea of bringing in his sister to convince him. Now, intuitively speaking, the reaction can be, okay, let me give up because I'm worried for my sister. Exactly the opposite can be the following. Sister, meaning in Arab culture, meaning something which is quite different from what it means for a New Jersey American, then the reaction might be quite violent, exactly the opposite of what one would have anticipated. Intuitively speaking, I would never bring a sister to persuade an Arab male to give up or to give in. I'd like to touch upon two items of background. First, the politico-cultural, and the second, theoretical. The politico-cultural is the Samuel Huntington's Clash of Civilizations, but I'd like to talk not about the political issue of Samuel Huntington's idea, but rather about the cultural clash of civilizations, not so much in the violent sense, but in the sense of the extreme, increasingly unbelievable for me, gap in the cultures, which goes really to many areas. Things like perception of time, perception of self and the other, perception of language, perception of boundaries. So the more you get into the culture and trying to extract the deeper meanings, the farther the conceptions and the perceptions seem to one. I'd like to say a word about the theoretical background. Seems to me that emotions, usually people would act first or would be driven to act first on emotions, kind of irrational decision, which later assumes some sort of rationalization or planning. Now, that takes time. If we can direct our assessment and our policy to the emotion rather than going through the rational to the emotion, I think we stand to save some time. We stand to put our interlocutor, when circumstances call for it, under time pressure. I think we get greater credibility in transmitting messages and in deciphering messages. And finally, which is not less important, is create greater degree of empathy in understanding not only cognitively, but also emotionally, what our interlocutor is all about. A few words about Arab culture in terms of general context. First of all, the linguistic context. Arabic is, first of all, language and culture, of course, there's no need to elaborate on the connection between these two institutions. But for Arabs, as very much for other cultures, but for Arabs, it seems to me a little bit more accentuated, Arabic language is a strong indicative of what I would call Arabness. That is fair to say, national hyphen religious identity is very much dictated and indicated by mastering the language. And of course, one can go on in more detail here, but that's too general to discuss at the moment. Something about emotions in Arabic culture and Arab culture. Arabs pride themselves that the culture is very much emotional. And one indication is the very important position poetry, for example, takes in the culture. I don't think I've ever seen in the United States concerts of poetry reading, which used to be the case in Soviet Russia, for example, and in the Arab world. And the immediacy that the emotions are transferred from the poet who reads on stage in front of 3,000-4,000 people who immediately resonate emotionally is something to really to be awed by and to admire. So, the third issue that I'd like to point to here is the priority of relationships. If I would compare it to my priorities, it would be, for me, a message would be prioritized by the degree of information it conveys. In Arab culture, information is secondary to creating relationships. And then, once relationships are created, emotional attitude, then information can be added, getting ever-increasing degree of truth and perhaps straightforward shooting between the eye messages which are not always nice and easy and which tend to offend the relationships. Let me give you three examples for emotions that are conveyed in words. The first I mentioned, sister. Now, for us, if you open the any dictionary, the definition of a sister would be something like a daughter of at least one of your parents. That's a cognitive definition, and that would run across different dictionaries in different languages, Arabic, English, French, Hebrew, whatever. But when you ask an Arab, what, especially male Arab, what the meaning of the word sister is, you might find that it involves a sense of honor, sense of risk, sense of protection, etc., which are not always the components in our perception of what a sister means. Now, in order to understand and even to predict sometimes, you need to know what the emotional components of the semantics, not only of the peripheral associative meaning, are involved. This is one word. Another word, which is has taken quite popularity not long ago, is the word crusade. Now, for American crusades, no need to tell you, for Arabs or for Arab Muslims, crusades, salibiyun, means a whole network of emotions that we find a little bit difficult to associate with or to empathize with. For example, despise. There's a famous story by a historian of the 11th century who actually was the secretary of Salah al-Din, who tells a story that he heard from an Arab, a Muslim, who served a crusader knight, who was asked to wash the crusader's wife. That would never be acceptable in Arab culture, in Islamic culture. There is no under any circumstances. Now, he looks upon the willingness of that knight to have his wife washed by a foreign person, let alone men, let alone an Arab, brought a great degree of despise towards the crusaders. Another thing is the sense of great pride because of Saladin, a great sense of offense by foreigners, let alone barbarians. 11th century, you might recall that the Arabs were far more developed and advanced than the Europeans, conquering their lands, etc., etc. And let me just read for you. It's not here. Let me read for you a definition of the word submission, which I came across in an Arab text. And it goes as follows. There are many such words in Arabic, especially when it comes to religiously oriented terms related to subtle inner emotions. One such example is the word khushu'. It is normally translated in English Islamic literature as submission or humility, while the English meaning of submission, for example, is closer to the Arabic istislam. The true meaning of khushu' is closer to, and now inverted commas, a state of total humility to the extent of becoming motionless, silent, fearful, and subservient. For the Muslim, it carries the sentiments of emotional appreciation of the greatness of Allah mixed with love, submission, and fear. So you can have an idea of what a definition would look like later on. So the need, I think, is on three levels. For the decision maker to be acquainted with the emotions of a culture, the local operational, commander in the field, and finally even the policeman, in order to avoid making a huge mistake by operating on American level of emotions and decisions rather than taking them, the Arab, into account. Very quickly, the center of this paper. We distributed questionnaires into phases. One, to establish the list of words which have to do with emotions, the list of words which have to do with conflict and conflict management. Have a look at the list of emotion terms and how popular there are. The first is love, then tenderness, then concern, then faithfulness, then hope, then fraternity, and it goes on and on. Incidentally, I didn't come across the word sadness. It was amazing to me to find out this one. But also, the words of conflict started with racialism, hatred, coexistence, confiscation, peace, etc. Another questionnaire which I ran gave the meanings, the emotional meanings of the word mufawadat, that is negotiations, as love constituting the strongest emotion, then trust, confidence, pride, brotherhood, happiness, anger, fear, desperation, sadness, disgrace, envy, etc. The implications of such a dictionary or such an extending of the dictionary have to do passively with deciphering statements, actively as using the dictionary in conveying and transmitting messages in the fields of diplomacy, intelligence, psychological warfare, and about translations I won't elaborate, because I'm not sufficiently aware of it. The second phase would to grade terms with emotions. So, for example, this table on the screen, the question would be, how strongly do you feel anger when you hear the word conflict or revenge or offense and so on? Finally, I think it's extremely important that we should be able to use, first of all, to study and to learn the culture through words and through emotions. Everybody here knows the importance of emotions in people's own lives. Every family has a dictionary. Every family has a private dictionary. You just need to try to use a word which is emotionally loaded for your wife, positively or even more so, negatively, and you know it. And if you, sometimes you can use it for the positive. Sometimes you can use it by mistake. Sometimes you can use it deliberately in order to make her or him angry. I'm proposing to try and see whether this kind of family inside dictionary can be extended so as to help in communication.